Have you read or heard the news lately? Well, most of it is bad news, likely to leave you depressed rather than inspired. That's what you get these days on the evening news and other news media. The good news is that there is an alternative. Dr. William Porter has provided wholesome yet compelling stories about people's experiences that many consider unusual, extraordinary, or even miraculous. Dr. Porter is an author who has chronicled stories like these in several books he has written. These stories have come to life on the Storytelling Time radio broadcast. So be prepared to hear some good news for a change. Here is Dr. Porter with today's story.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's get started with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day, and give us the strength to do your will on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of inspiration for today is the following quotation. Giving is better than receiving, because giving starts the receiving process. This quote is from John Rowan, who was an author and motivational speaker. The show today is about Maggie continuing to live her life without her husband John, who had died recently in a car accident. With a memorial service for John only in the planning stage, the shock in the community over losing one of their own still lingered. Maggie tried to let go of the past and rebuild her life to have a productive future. She was determined to renew her relationship with her parents, which was affected not only by the death of her husband, but also by the way things went during their short marriage. Her mother, Mitzi, who had adored John, was deeply affected by his sudden passing. She had been so involved in Maggie's marriage, and now it was a big adjustment for her to carry on without that element in her life. At least her mother, in Maggie's view, could now spend more quality time with her father, Matthew. Maggie thought with the help of her mother, Matthew could come to recognize more his value as a moral compass to the family. Maggie also hoped that Mitzi would lean on Pastor John Sr., especially since John Jr. had left Flint to become the pastor of his own church in Detroit. Meanwhile, Maggie thought that Mark Methodist would return to a more stable leadership of Reverend John Sr. In addition to being senior pastor, one advantage that John Sr. had over his son was that he could sing. And sing he did on several occasions in his tenure at the church. Often he sang one of his favorite hymns just prior to the sermon, and Maggie would remember that as a kid growing up. But on one occasion, he allowed a visiting soloist to greet the congregation in song before he preached. It was an old friend who was in Detroit to perform at a crusade that was to be held there during the following week. The song sung by the visitor that day was especially significant to Maggie at this time because it addressed her pain of loneliness and her loss. As Maggie remembered, he gave a personal testimony, then delivered an old spiritual from days gone by.
Bill asked me to share this about 26 years ago. I was flying back from Los Angeles on an Eastern Airlines plane. And I saw this flight attendant, and she looked a little discouraged. So I went and I got a cassette of my first recording, and I handed it to her, and I said, you know, I just feel impressed to share this with you. She said, thank you so much. I've been having a really rough time. Well, 3 weeks later, she was working another flight and saw Cliff Barrows. And she said, "Mr. Barrows, it's such a pleasure to have you on my flight." She said, "Can I ask you something? Have you ever heard of a young man by the name of Wintley Phipps?" And he said, "No, I've never heard of him." She said, "Hold on a minute." And she went back to her purse and got a cassette, the same cassette I gave her, and gave it to Cliff Barrows. 3 weeks later, I get a call from Cliff Barrows. "We want you to be one of the soloists with the Billy Graham Crusades. Hook up from heaven," I call it. And God told me to share this with you. It is in the quiet crucible of your personal, private sufferings that your noblest dreams are born and God's greatest gifts are given in compensation for what you've been through. It is well.
Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well.
Maggie would keep her job as an administrative assistant at the law office, but decrease her duties at Faith Methodist Church, where her husband had been pastor. She thought that it would be a good idea to start her life over without some of the connections that she had made at that church. For a while, she was willing to continue to act as the lead administrative assistant to the new minister whenever he or she might be appointed. And Sandra, her close friend, would presumably continue to be her subordinate at Faith Methodist. But Maggie soon decided to change her membership to another church. It would be just too difficult for her, she thought, to sit through services without John in the pulpit. Yes, being in the sanctuary where he so often displayed his passionate persona to the congregation would never be the same without him there. She would miss the relationship she had developed at Faith Methodist, to be sure. While she would not sever all her connections there, she wanted to move on with her life in another part of the city. Even amid her grief, Maggie could not help thinking of Fred, who would soon return to Chicago from his assignment in Hawaii. The communication between them had decreased significantly since the confrontation between John and Fred on that fateful evening in Hawaii. But Fred had been one of the first persons Maggie called after John's passing. Fred offered his condolences to her, then said he would look forward to seeing her when he arrived back in Chicago. They had spoken to one another a few times since that phone conversation, but they still were far apart from each other, both physically and emotionally, especially since the incident in Hawaii. They realized that both of their lives had changed and thought about the possibility of dissolving their relationship altogether. For now, on a physical level, with him still in Hawaii and with her now back in Detroit, physical closeness was impossible. Yes, until that incident between John and Fred at the Village Hotel, they had remained mentally, even spiritually, connected. Nonetheless, being so recently widowed, Maggie had no interest in developing another relationship. Her time apart from Fred had taken a toll on her desire to be with him, although they were still connected emotionally. Yes, her desire to be with Fred took a big hit in the face of her husband's death. The flames of love certainly needed to be rekindled. The question would be whether those kinds of feelings could be reawakened in Maggie, either for Fred or for someone else. While Maggie's spirit guided her to do what was right, dealing with her flesh was a constant battle. In just 2 months, Fred would be back in Chicago, only a 2-hour drive from where Maggie lived. She wondered how they would reconnect, or, given all that had happened, if they would simply continue to live their separate lives. We'll be back after a break.
This is follow-up to my previous posting in reference to Life in the Spirit by Dr. William Porter. I must say that I was more than thrilled to meet with him yesterday to gain my own personally signed copy of this book. I must also say that from page one, I was captivated by his connections with practical living, real life experiences to scripture. And for me, that is a win-win situation. But look, just don't take my word for it. Actually, yeah, take my word. But also, take a look and read for yourself. Life in the Spirit, Dr. William Porter. You can also access more information online at www.williamporterlife.com. Happy readings!
Welcome back. While back in Detroit, Maggie continued to try to adjust to her new lifestyle without John. She still had a working relationship with Sandra in her job at Faith Methodist, but Maggie had decided that she needed a change of scenery and soon would give up her position there, allowing Sandra to become lead administrative assistant. Meanwhile, Maggie focused on her work at the law office. She still had dreams of starting a daycare, which would require her to leave that position too. By spring, she would finally sever ties with the law firm and would begin to prepare the paperwork involved in starting a daycare. As was the case at Faith Methodist, Maggie had developed friendships at the law firm that she wanted to retain, but she knew she had to move on and redirect her life. Her new path included taking some courses at a local technical college to enhance her qualifications for running a daycare center. Having not yet left Hawaii, Fred finally called Maggie, the first time they had talked since she had called him after her husband's death. She also acknowledged that horrendous event that they experienced at the hotel when John confronted Fred, but they both wanted to be as positive as possible. "Hello, Mag. It's me, Fred." "Oh, Fred, how have you been?" was Maggie's response. It was a brief conversation, but it was obvious that the both of them were happy to be talking with one another again. "How are you doing?" he asked her. "I'm fine, Fred, and I hope you are well and have gotten over that experience at the hotel." "Don't think about that," Fred admonished her. "I know that you're still grieving at what has happened." Then Fred took the opportunity at that time to tell Maggie about Courtney and how she had helped him adapt to the islands. He indicated that she also had been in a difficult marriage, but seemed to have been delivered from her problem after hearing a positive message during a church service they had attended together. Both Fred and Maggie acknowledged that the experience at the hotel, the confrontation, if you will, had taken a lot out of them and regretted what had taken place. Fred ended the conversation by saying that he would return to Chicago in a couple of weeks and would love to see her. With more time on her hands, she agreed that it would be good for them to see each other again. We'll be right back after a break.
Do you want to read some good news for a change? With all the things going on in the world today, it's refreshing to find good news. Well, Dr. William Porter has written three books that include a bit of intrigue, drama, and yes, a little romance, among other things in the storyline. So if you like biblically based, spiritually focused stories, do yourself a favor and read some inspiring accounts of people's experiences that may be considered extraordinary and in some cases even miraculous. Dr. Porter has written three books based on real life experiences, some of which are his own, and others have been communicated to him from those who have agreed to share their stories. Life in the Spirit was his first book, which is a nonfiction collection of short stories documenting people's experiences that they believe to be unique, unusual, and what Dr. Porter calls extraordinary. Heaven Can't Wait is his second book, which is a fictional novel. A third book is another nonfictional account of a collection of short stories that is titled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. For more information, visit the website williamporterlife.com. He also can be contacted at the email address waporter4995@yahoo.com. So do yourself a favor and read some good news for a change.
Welcome back. Our scripture today comes from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. This verse of scripture says that He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Yes, Maggie was in the process of grieving for her lost husband, but it is good to remember that our Lord also was well acquainted with grief, as he lived, suffered, and died for our redemption. And despite her grief, Maggie knew, because of what he went through, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain in her life.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power. There is power,
there is power
in the name,
in the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain.
Come on, say it to me.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army right.
There's an army.